I was at Cy and Charlie's the other day getting some work done on my car and just waiting for that work to be completed. And a lady came up to the front counter. She had just gotten her car serviced. And she left, but then she came back in and she asked the guy behind the counter. She said, "You know that low tire pressure light?" She said, "That's still on my car. Is there a way that you guys can reset that? Have you had this problem before? You know, you go and you got a low tire, you know, the crazy thing. We got more idiot lights than we know what to do with anymore." But so she comes back in, you know, had the tire serviced, you know, the tires is fine and everything, but the what we used to call it, the idiot light, Rich. Do you guys call it that? Yeah, well, that's what we used to call it. Well, the little light, it was still on, and so she said, "Can you reset that light so that it can go off?" So you drive down the road without having that look at that light anymore. And the manager said to this lady something that I remember him telling me when I had the same question. He said, "We've taken care of the problem. Just drive the car for a little while, and that light will go off." Have you had that happen to you? Yeah, same thing. You know, so evidently she didn't realize that that's what was going to happen. And so I wonder what it was like for that lady to go back in the car. Because she just left that car. That idiot light was on, you know, saying, "Hey, you know, we got a low tire pressure." She goes back in, talks to the man, gets back in her car. You know as well as I do, when she turned the key, that light was still on, wasn't it? It was still there, and it was still blaring just as bright as it was before she had the thing serviced. It's like nothing has happened. Nothing has gotten any better. However, something did happen when she talked to the manager, right? Because she was able, I think, to look at that light differently based upon the promise that was given to her, right? I mean, you know, she had to make a choice. She could ponder the problem or she could remember the promise. And that's how we get through life, isn't it? We can have our eyes so focused on our problem, or we can remember the promises of God. And as she got back in her car, you know, she had to choose, am I going to be anxious about the light that's on, or am I going to put my trust in the promise that was given, that, you know what, the problem has been taken care of, and just go ahead and keep driving down the road. It'll go off. No, she's driving down the road, maybe she had a conversation with that little light bulb. I don't know. Hey, we talked to all kinds of things, but maybe it might sound corny, but maybe she's driving down the road. She saw that light that had been on for so long and had bothered her so much. Maybe she spoke to that light and she said, "You are not going to get any more of my attention because I have been given a promise that you are no longer going to be a problem. You're harmless to me." I don't know what it's like in your life, but I wonder if you have a few warning lights on the dashboard of your life. Are there a few things that have been bothering you for a long time? Maybe it has nothing to do with your car. Maybe it has to do with your future. Maybe it has to do with your faith, your family, your finances. If that describes you today, please hear me when I say you have come to the right place because you've come into a room full of people who have the exact same issues that you have. And we have a choice to make this morning. We can continue to fix our eyes on the problems at hand, or we can remember the promises of God. And I want to talk to you this morning about fixing your life and building your life on the promises of God. Because, you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have such an advantage over people who are not following Christ. They're trying to get through life all on their own, trying to make it up as they go, and just trying to figure out life without banking upon the promises of God. And we're not just any old people. We are people of the promise. Not just any old promise either. We are people who bank our lives on the promises of Almighty God. Now, see, God's promises, they are unbreakable. And because they are unbreakable, we can have an unshakable hope in Christ. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And, you know, just like that lady at Cy and Charlie said, if she was able, once she got the word from the manager that the problem has been solved, if that changed her outlook about her car, if you can take the word of a mechanic, how much more can you take the word of Almighty God? His word is true. His promises never fail. In Hebrews chapter 6, there's an incredible promise. It tells us about this great truth. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Oh, think about that. We have an anchor for the soul that's firm and secure. That in that verse, there are two really big words at the beginning part of it. The first big word is the word anchor. You know what an anchor is, don't you? I mean, and I'm not just talking about any old anchor. I'm talking about the great big ones with the two big points on the end. You know, like Popeye's tattoo. That's the kind of anchor that I picture in my mind when I read this verse. We have an anchor for the soul. Maybe you've thrown an anchor, you know, as you're standing on your boat, and you threw that anchor overboard, and you held the rope, and as it's going down, quickly down through the water, all of a sudden, oh, you felt that catch. And it caught firm, and it is holding on. You know, that anchor has one purpose. The only reason you have an anchor is we want to keep this boat steady. That's what the anchor's for, isn't it? You know, if you're going to weather the storms, you're going to need a good anchor. You know, you need an anchor that not only sinks deep, but you need an anchor that holds firm. And because the reason why you need an anchor is because you actually have a valuable vessel. Your boat has cost you money. Frankly, that boat, you know, if that boat sinks, you got big problems, right? You know, when it comes to our lives, we have something even more valuable. And that's the second big word. He says, we have an anchor for the soul. You have a soul. Your soul is vastly more valuable than your boat. You know that? You know, I mean, sure, you know, your soul is what makes you different than your pet goldfish. Because now, it's true, you both breathe. It's true, you both have eyes, you both have scales. His scales are on the outside, yours is on the bathroom floor. But you both have scales, you know, and, you know, you kind of, you know. But you and Goldie, you're alike in so many ways, but you are very different in the fact that you have a soul. Goldie doesn't have a soul. Your soul is what makes you different than the animals. Your soul is also what unites you to God. You see, when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, he didn't give him just oxygen. He gave him a soul. He made him a living being. Your soul needs an anchor. It's fragile. Frankly, your soul can be damaged. It can be beaten up when the storms of life come, can't it? And so that's why we need a soul that has an anchor. We need a hooking point, something to hold on to no matter what comes blowing our way. And in that verse of Hebrews, it goes on. It talks about the anchor for the soul that's firm and secure. It goes on to tell us where that anchor is fixed. It says that the anchor is fixed in the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. Our anchor, in other words, is firmly attached to the throne of God. It's connected to God's holy throne. It's a place that's holding firm. It's not going to break free. The rope that's attached to that anchor is not going to snap. It is far beyond the reaches of the devil, and it is under the care of Jesus Christ. We have an anchor that is attached to the throne of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you this morning about how do you build your life upon the promises of God. Because we have these unbreakable promises. We can be people who have unshakable hope. It doesn't matter what comes in our lives. When we build our lives on the promises of God, We find ourselves an anchor for our souls. We find we can live as people who have incredible hope. Somebody, they spent a year and a half going through the entire Bible, counting up the number of promises that God made. Do you know not all the promises in the Bible are true? Some of them are the promises the devil made. Just saying. You don't bank on those, do you? Because we know he's a liar. But they went through the entire Bible, year and a half, and as they're read carefully, whenever they came across a promise that God made, they would write that one down, and they would tally it up. Spent a year and a half counting up the promises of God. I want you to give me some guesses. How many promises do you think God made in the Bible? Love to hear some guesses. 7,500. Okay. Give me another guess. 10,000? That's good. That's a really good guess. A million promises. All right. Okay. You know, Shelley, you must be peeking at my sermon notes. 7,487. She said 7,500. 7,487, that's the number that they came up with. That's the number of promises that they found that God was making in the Bible. Can you believe that? That's an incredible amount of promises. I mean, God's promises are like the pine trees on the Rocky Mountains of Scripture. I mean, they are abundant and they are unbending. They are perennial. I mean, just look across the mountain range of Scripture and you see the promises of God just sprouting up all over the place. You know who those are for? Those are for you. Those are for me. Those are for those who are following Jesus. And now some of the promises are very positive. That God promises, that He gives an assurance of blessing. Some of those promises are negative. And there are dire consequences for disobedience. I mean, that's a promise. You got to take them both. They're all there. But, you know, every promise of God, they are binding because God is not just a promise maker. God is a promise keeper. He keeps His word. I just want to give you a few reasons why you should build your life on the promises of God. First reason why we can build our lives and trust the promises of God, because God is unchanging. He sees the end from the very beginning. God is never caught off guard by different circumstances. God is never surprised. He doesn't make mid-course corrections. God is not subject to mood swings or seasonal disorders. God, He changes not. In James chapter 1, we get this great promise. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Isn't that an incredible promise? He never changes. He never casts a shifting shadow. God is unmovable. And that we can build our life upon a God who does not change. That great song says, "Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness." And that is another reason why we can build our life on the promises of God, because God is faithful. Listen to this great verse that you can claim. God can be trusted to keep His promises. Don't you just love that? Everybody say that. God can be trusted to keep His promises. He absolutely can because He is faithful. His promises are true. God is unchanging. He is faithful. He is also strong. Some people make promises they can't keep, right? They say, "Oh yeah, yeah, I'll be there at such and such a time," and then they never show up. "I'll be able to help you, sure." I remember when Alyssa moved here and she said, "Sure, Alyssa, I'll come over and help you." I did, by the way. And my timing is really good. And when I arrived there, there was only one box left in the truck. I thought, okay, they left the one for me. So frankly, it was because of me that I finished unloading the truck. I did. So, well, God's not like that, is He? God is always on time. He is faithful. He is unchanging, and He is strong. I just love how it says that God is able to do whatever He promises. Not only can God be trusted to keep His promises, also God is able to do whatever He promises. That is powerful to know that this is the kind of God that we serve. And, you know, I can go on and on this about how dependable God is and how we can build our life on His promises, and reason upon reason upon reason that we can build our life and trust in the promises of God. I'll just give you one more, though. God cannot lie. He can't. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says, it is impossible for Him to lie. You know what else is impossible? It's impossible for rocks to swim. It is impossible for hippos to fly. It is impossible for butterflies to eat cheeseburgers. I am so sure. It is also impossible for God to lie. It doesn't say that God doesn't, he does not lie. That's not what it's saying. Nor does it say that God is unlikely to lie. Instead, the promise is he cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. I mean, yeah, this verse is saying that we have a God we can trust. We put it all together, we see that we have a promise-making, we have a promise-keeping God. I wonder if there are some promises of God in the Bible that have really resonated with your spirit. That they've really connected with your soul. That you're like, I'm anchoring my life on that promise. Some people call it a life verse. And that's a great way to be thinking about it. I'm building my life around this particular promise of God. And I hope that you do. And I don't want you just to merely take my word for trusting the promises of God. I've enlisted some heavy hitters this morning. People who are learning to trust in the promises of God and how God has used his promises and God has used this church to help them to build their life on the promises of God. And so the first up to bat is Rich Lynn. Will you please welcome Rich Lynn to come and share with us what God is doing?
So I'm supposed to talk about why I come here and what brought me here and why I stayed here. When I first came here, I had no intentions of making this my church home. I already had a church home, but I don't know if any of you remember Tony Davey. He was part of this church, and he used to come and talk to the inmates at the jail. So I got to know Tony, and my daughter became friends with his daughter, and Tony would bring him here on occasion. So I just came to check out and see what this church was about. Because my daughter was coming here. I came here and I never left ever since then. But before I came here, I decided to listen to a message online. And I did a lot of distance running a lot. And I decided, you know, I was doing like a 12, 14 mile run that day. I can tell you where I was. I was out by the county home and I was listening to a message about life verse, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. That since that day, that's become my life verse. Over time, it started becoming my life verse. Just God's been showing me that one over and over again. And it's to trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean on not my own understanding, but all my ways acknowledge him, and he will direct my paths. He directed me right here. I had no intentions of leaving here, of making this my church home. I had one, but this is where I came, and I never left. And since I've been here, I've seen a lot of amazing things happen. I've seen my in-laws baptized right here, accept Jesus, and so on fire for God. I've seen my co-worker's daughter, Savannah, go to that Cedar Springs camp, accept Jesus, get baptized up here, and sing her own praise and worship songs with everybody here. I've seen my family come to church more often than they ever used to. I've seen a lot of different things happen just since I've been here. God's doing a lot of amazing miracles here, including just with me and my growth with God. I've learned more about him since I started coming here than I ever could imagine or possibly think that would ever happen. So when we give our commitment today, I believe every dollar is worth it because I believe in the direction that pastor's taken this church and the vision that he has, and I'm all in for it. And I'm believing that this every seat here is going to be filled. Like if you take the pews out and put a new chair in there, I don't, if it's a pew or if it's a chair, I don't care as long as there's somebody in it. So, and I guess that's the ultimate goal is that. So I'm just really thankful for this church and everything that's happening here.
Wow. Thank God. This morning we have Josh Beebe who's going to be sharing with us. No, he's not actually here in person, all right? But he did give us a video that he wants us to be able to view, and he wants to testify how God is blessing him and his family, how God has used us to help him build his life on the promises of God. So just take a listen.
Good morning, Hope Wesleyan Church, and hello from Georgia. For those of you I haven't met, my name is Joshua Beebe, and I've been a member of Hope Wesleyan for about 5 years. Over these last few years, I've spent much of my time here in Georgia and also in overseas in various places in Africa and elsewhere in the world. But through all my travels, I've always considered Hope Wesleyan as my home church. As I think about the impact Hope Wesleyan has had on my relationship with Jesus, my first memory is actually from high school. Several of my friends attended the youth group at Hope Wesleyan and invited me to youth group with them. This played a role in helping build the foundation of my relationship with Jesus. It wasn't until later that I actually attended a church service at Hope Wesleyan. I still remember that feeling of being welcomed into a community. That sense of friendship and family was really apparent to me as a visitor. As I think about this, I'm reminded of the description of the early church in Acts chapter 2. In verse 46 and 47, it says, "They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." I've experienced this verse come to life in a few different ways while attending Hope Wesleyan. So just as in this passage, we are a church that does life together. We're not a church that just spends an hour or two together on Sunday mornings. Some of my favorite and most encouraging moments have been sharing meals around the table, sharing experiences with friends and family from church. I'm also thankful to be part of a church family who's generous with their time. Examples of this include a group taking a trip to come visit me and my family when my dad was in the hospital in Madison. People who have picked me up and dropped me off at the airport as I'm coming and going from Georgia. Or people who have stopped by to help out my parents with projects at the house over the last couple of years when they weren't able to do as many of those projects on their own. And then there's also the generosity shown towards the ministry that I'm doing here as well, and the ministries of missionaries that Hope Wesleyan supports around the world is just truly a blessing. And it's just made a huge difference in my life. Another example of that generosity is just the incredible benefit that you all put together for my dad following his lung transplant. So that's just something that I continue to see all the time out of Hope Wesleyan. I'm thankful to be part of a body that does that. But what excites me most about this passage is that this sort of church, this sort of community, has the potential to be the experience of everyone in the room today and anyone who comes through the doors in the future. In fact, I believe the description of the church in this passage is what made the early church so attractive to people. And as I've seen Hope Wesleyan walk in this, and as I've seen other churches around the world follow the example from this passage, I've just seen the church grow and just be an incredible community for anybody that they come in contact with. So as we continue to meet together, let's continue to live generous lives. Let's continue to break bread together and continue to worship God in our community around us, Independence, Buchanan County, and beyond. We'll see us as a light, and it will just be a place where others would want to join in on what's happening here. So again, I'm thankful for Hope Wesleyan. I'm thankful for the impact the church has had on my life and on my family's life, and I look forward to seeing you all again soon.
All right. Please welcome Lisa Fishels as she comes and shares with us the hope that she's found in Jesus through our church.
Short and sweet. I had to have notes because my mind's all over the place lately, and I can't see you when I put these down because I have to see my notes. So it was hard to pick a life verse because it seems like I've had verses all through my life at different seasons in my life, but probably for the past 10 years, this one has been on my heart and mind, and I have a video or a visual that Pastor will hold up. It's Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. And my son-in-law's sister painted this for me, and I didn't tell her what to paint. She just chose that, but I thought it was very fitting with that little tree out there on its lonely island, because that's how you feel sometimes when you're going through tough times. I have to give you a little bit of background about me so you can understand how I came into coming to Hope Church. I grew up knowing and learning about God, Bible studies. I had YES, YOU, those were our youth groups, a church family that was very important to me and that I spent a lot of time with. But the church I attended with my family was very legalistic. Actually, my family, like my mom and dad and my brother. So this is very young, age 3. it was very legalistic. We thought we had the truth pretty much exclusively. You know, that we understood that God was caring and loving, but we saw him more as a judge and a strict ruler, and we didn't really understand God's grace. And Jesus was there, but kind of left out. We didn't really know him. We didn't have a good relationship with him, although we thought we had it. And then in 1995, 96, my children were very young. Big changes started happening in the church that I was going to. There was a total turnaround. Many people left at that time and fell away. We stayed, and we started to experience growth and learn about God's grace and love for us and learn about Jesus. And that was something that was totally different for us. So that's where the growth started. But prior to that, a couple years, I started working at MHI and met Bob Howlett. He was the principal at the school there, and I was hired by him. And I attended his dad's funeral. And that's when I kind of got interested in Hope Church, because I thought, wow, this really feels like my church family, where I was, because of the closeness, the friendliness. Because our church was very friendly. We were just very judgmental and exclusive. And so God worked on me to attend a church in town. It was, oh boy, I want to say months, but it was probably close to a year that I couldn't sleep. He wouldn't let me sleep. And I just kept having that feeling, something's got to change. So I went to a couple churches in town. I went to the Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, and then I came here. And at the same time, a friend from my other church invited me to go to Women of Faith. And so that was really a huge part of my growth. And so, long story short, I chose to come to Hope. Our whole family did, with my husband and I and our two children. And it's just been a huge part of my growth, the strengthening of my relationship with Jesus that I didn't have prior to that, through involvement in, I went to Women of Faith, I think, every year until they were done having that, Des Moines, lots of times driving to Minnesota to go, but the kids in Sunday school, starting out, you know, I attended with them because I was going to make sure they were preaching God's word, taking over children's church, doing that for all those years, became a camp counselor, learned a lot with the kids, being involved in VBS. I was on the church board when we hired Pastor Bob, and that was an eye-opener, too. I hadn't really ever known how a church board or how the church was run before. But just through women's Bible studies that I've either led or been involved in, I've just really been able to improve my understanding of God's grace, and Hope has been a huge part of that with just the people that I have come into contact with, got to know, and I'm glad Diane Hepke's not here today because I'd probably be crying because we always make eye contact, and we just have this, I don't know, there's just a closeness. It's like she's my sister, and same with Judy Miller, and just there's so many of you. Margie, you know, all the people in my group, you just have a closeness, and you can share the difficult times together, and so that's why I think of Hope as, I know God's my refuge, but Hope is like a refuge, too, for me, so.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, it's inspiring to hear how God has blessed our church and how God is using our church. These folks, they just came and they shared one particular verse that has become a life verse. But imagine if you were swimming under the ocean and you simply had one straw to breathe through. You might get by that way, but you're not going to thrive that way, are you? You know, and so that's kind of how it is when we think about God's word. I mean, it's great that we have a promise, and maybe there's a life verse, one particular promise that really is great for you. But we need more than just one soda straw to get us through this life. You know, I was just talking before church with someone outside, and you know, it's one thing to believe, you know, that oxygen is good for you. But, oh, that's a whole different thing to start going, you know, just start taking it in. And so I want to give you a couple of ways that I think can be really helpful for you to begin to build your life on the promises of God. How do you build a life upon these promises? So these are three ways that I know work. They're not the only ways, but I know these ways work just because I'm practicing them, and so I hope that they can be helpful for you too. The first way is, how do you build your life on the promises of God? The first is, read God's Word with a soft heart and a highlighter. Okay? You think I'm joking, but I'm not. Read His Word with a soft heart and a highlighter, you know. And some people say, well, what version is the best version of the Bible? And they think I'm being snarky when I say this, but I'm not. The best version of the Bible is the version of the Bible that you are going to read. All right? If you are going to read the King James Version, read the King James. If for you it's going to be the New Living Translation, read that, or some, you know, another translation. Just whatever translation that you are going to consistently read, that's the one you probably ought to read. Now, I have read different translations of the Bible. In fact, I'm reading through the New Living Translation this year. But just because I want to have the different experience of that. But whatever it is that you're going to read, read that one and start there. You know, and so spend some time in it. But however, whatever version you read, make sure that you read God's Word with a soft heart. What I mean by that is to have an open mind. Have a teachable spirit. Have an attitude that says, God, I want to learn. I want to grow. Will you teach me? And He will. Oh, I'll tell you what, when you open up God's Word with a heart like that, oh, you are just beginning an incredible journey with God. And so read God's Word with a soft heart, but also read God's Word with a highlighter. Because the last I checked, the Bible's a big book. And there are parts of the Bible that I read through that I know they're all inspired, but some parts are not as inspiring as other parts, okay? And so when God, as you're reading through the Bible with an open heart, you know, an open mind, you're a soft heart, and there suddenly there's a promise there or something that really connects with you, take out your highlighter and highlight that part. And then perhaps you can write that down or memorize that. And maybe that is the verse of Scripture for that day that you're praying through throughout the day and that you're meditating upon, because God is actually wanting you to capture what He's trying to say. Maybe it is a promise. It might be a command that you're supposed to follow. It might be an example you need to learn from, or a truth you need to ponder, whatever it might be. But however God speaks to you in His Word, highlight that part and then begin to internalize that. A second way is then to combine the promise with faith. I promise you, oxygen is very good for you. None of you are going through this life holding your breath, are you? You're all breathing, and that's good. If you stop breathing, we'll have to call David Maximovich back in here, and you know he'll have to do something for you. But it's one thing to believe oxygen's good. It's another thing to breathe it in, right? I mean, if you truly did not believe oxygen was good, you'd be holding your breath and go, I gotta get through here. Instead, you just take, everybody just take a deep breath. Just, okay, make sure you exhale. and that's what we have to do. I mean, when it comes to God's promises, it is we are starting to internalize the promises of God. And we receive those promises by faith. And we begin to, I'm going to start to live that out. I mean, by faith, that means that I'm going to make this promise what I'm banking my hope on. I'm placing my trust in what God has said. You know, the next step that I take in my life, the next decision that I make, whatever choice I'm going to make, or the attitude that I have about this problem, or the next words that I speak, they are going to be reflecting that promise that God has given me. It's just like that lady at Cy and Charlie. I mean, that's what she had to do, right? I mean, if she truly did not believe what that manager was saying, she'd be pounding that counter saying, no, you get back out there and you fix that thing right. She got back in her car with the confidence that what he said is trustworthy. She began going down the road. And that's how we are in the road of life. We find God's promises, and we know God is telling us, I've already handled that problem. It's all taken care of. And so we continue to move forward, not worrying anymore about the problem, but trusting and having great hope in the promises of our living God. Another way to begin to build your life on the promises of God, to have unshakable hope, is that we begin to share what God is teaching us with somebody else. Somebody said a long time ago, you really haven't learned anything until you can teach it to someone else. There's a lot of truth to that. See, not only do we need hope, the people in our community, they need hope just as much as we do. Think about this. Every other house that you drove by this morning on your way to church has been scarred by divorce. Every other house. Every fourth house that you go by on your way home from church has been touched with abuse. Something else, they've said in the last 20 years, since 1999, the suicide rate in America has gone up by 24%. 24%. If this was any other disease, we would call this an epidemic. And that's what it is. I mean, think about, why is that? Why has that gone up so much? I mean, how do we explain this increase? Because, frankly, we have never been more educated than we are right now. I mean, we have tools of technology that our parents and our grandparents, they could only dream of. You know, I've talked with like my parents, my grandparents. They remember Dick Tracy, the old comics. You guys remember those? You know, and the technology they had in Dick Tracy, we're living that. I mean, that's like, well, of course that is. Yeah, you just talk to your watch. You see, I talked to my daughter just the other day, just simple as that, just through a video chat. You know, that was things that our parents could only dream of. You know, we are saturated with entertainment and with recreation, and yet the suicide rate increases by 24% in the last 20 years. How do you explain that? What is the problem? I know there's not just one thing you can point at. But I do know this. People are dying for a lack of hope. They truly believe that life could get better, that there is someone who is working in their lives, that someone who's watching over them. If they truly believe that they would not take their own lives. They need the hope that you have found. They need to find the hope of Jesus. They need to have to find a way to the anchor that you're holding on to right now. And, you know, and God has put you and I in their lives to help them find the anchor, to help them learn how to grasp hold of the promises of a God who is unchanging and faithful and strong and will never let us down. Perhaps one of the greatest ways that you can build your life on the promises of God is to share what God is giving you. Share that with those who need that same hope. We've been talking for over a month now about your one. The one person in your life, or maybe it's one family in your life that God has put on your heart that you're praying for. They're a few steps away from the Savior right now. And you're, well, what do I do? How about just sharing what God is doing in your life? Remember, back in 1989, a short and sweet lady, she gave me these cards. 1989, she gave me these cards. It says, she hand wrote them. Beautiful handwriting, by the way. There was some perfume that was sprayed on there. It's faded by now. The first one says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. I will fear no one. The Lord protects me from all danger. I will never be afraid." Another one says, Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Do not be afraid. I'm with you. I am your God. I will not let nothing terrify you. I will make you strong and help you. I will protect you and save you." The pink one was my favorite. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and He will show you the right way." Amy gave me these cards 30 years ago. It was a year later I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is that the promises of God that you are holding on to right now are the same promises that somebody else needs. Because she was willing to share what God was sharing with her, with me, I'm a child of God today. Never underestimate the power of God's word. Why would I hold on to these things 30 years? These are an anchor. This is what I'm holding on to. This is what I'm building my life on. Do you know anybody who's living without hope, who needs to discover the hope that you have found in Jesus? You do know him. You do. Learn their name, discover their needs, and offer the hope that Jesus is offering you. We're going to pray right now as we ask God to help us to build our lives on the promises of God. Lord Jesus, I think of that great hymn from a long time ago. It says, standing on the promises. Thank you for particularly that second verse, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of life and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Lord, in a world that is so shaky, in a world that seems to be grasping in the darkness, trying to find something to hold on to, and they are constantly losing hope, you have given us the hope that our world desperately needs. We find that hope spelled out so clearly in your word. And you make your word so personal to every one of us. I pray first and foremost, if there are those here this morning that they're not reading your word and they do not understand the power of your promises, I ask God that you would help them to start right there. That they would find the word of God. That they would begin to crack open the book of life. And allow you to begin to speak your precious promises into their lives. Help us, Father, to internalize those promises through faith in you. And then, Father, send us out into a world that desperately needs to know the hope that we find in Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is the hope. You are the hope of the world. You've placed that hope inside of our hearts. Help us, dear Father, to go and to share that hope with everyone we meet. In Christ's name, amen.